All right, let's turn here tonight to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we left off last week with discussing the work of the Holy Spirit. And we saw a few things here that about the Holy Spirit. And I want us to continue tonight looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, so beginning now in chapter 1 of Genesis. Genesis means beginnings, all right, beginnings. And certainly Genesis is the book of beginnings. We have the first earth, we have the first universe, we have the first light, we have the first man, the first woman. I mean, it's a book of first sin, and the first promise of a redeemer in chapter 3 and verse 15. So there are many, many firsts in the book of Genesis. All right, so let's read now. Look at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 5. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you now for this passage of Scripture. And these five verses tell us a great deal about who you are and what you did on that day of creation when you created the heaven and the earth. And Father, I pray now that you will help us to be encouraged tonight, realizing the work of the Holy Spirit, even from this passage of Scripture, from these few verses. And Father, I just pray now that you will give us understanding and give us the things that we need to strengthen our faith and help us to trust you more. So bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first thing I want to discuss with everyone tonight is I want us to think about the Holy Spirit in relation to the matter of creation. All right, in the as the Holy Spirit relates to the matter of creation. Now, you might be sitting here thinking to yourself, well, now, how does the Holy Spirit have a part in creation? Well, that's what I'm hoping to show you this evening. The first thing that I call to your attention is this. I want you to notice here that all three persons of the Godhead are here in these first five verses. All right, all three persons of the Godhead. In verse 1, we see God the Father. And the Bible here says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now, the name that is used here for God is the name Elohim. Elohim. It's Elohim. Now, as I've mentioned to you many times in the past, the Hebrew language is built upon root words, all right? And then there are all these prefixes or suffixes that attach to a word that give it its meaning, all right? Now, the word, let's see, Elohim, that word is what is used here in verse 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. And this is the name that the author of this book, the Holy Spirit, this is the name that the Holy Spirit of God uses for God the Father. And this name stresses his majesty and his omnipotence. And this is God's name used throughout the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Now, I mention that because the root word here is the word El, E-L. And E-L simply means God. All right? God. That's what E-L means. I have told you before that Israel's national airline is L-E-L-L-Al, airline. God's airline. All right? L-Al. And it's a little hard to misinterpret what that means. All right? But that is the name that the Israelis gave to their national airline, El Al. And so El means God. Now, whenever you see this Ohim that's on the end of it, that makes it plural. All right? So don't let that throw you. You say, what, many gods? No, three, yet one. All right, so El, that's God, Ohim, and what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and showing us is that our God is a three, yet one. All right, there's no mistake in that. Now, with this word El, when you read your Old Testament, especially when you read your Old Testament scriptures, I would encourage you to pay attention to all the times in the Bible where El is either at the beginning or at the end of a word. All right, pay real close attention to that because you'll learn some things that that will be an encouragement and a blessing to your heart if you will pay attention to that. All right, for instance, let me show you. Hold your place here on page 1. All right, and go over to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. And chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. I want to read you one of the most important verses in the Bible. In the Bible. And this is a prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave to Isaiah. And in verse 14, we read these words. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, what? El. Emmanuel. You say, well, what am I supposed to get from that? Well, if you don't know the language, the Hebrew language, you probably wouldn't really get a whole lot out of that other than the fact that when the Savior would come, his name would be called Emmanuel. But if you keep reading the Bible, you see, the best commentary on the scriptures is the scriptures. And if you keep reading your Bible and going on over, go now to the book of Matthew, all right? Go to Matthew for just a moment. And look down at the beginning to the first chapter. And you'll remember when the Holy Spirit was giving the birth of our Lord's story to Matthew in verse 21, the Bible says in chapter 1, "And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and that prophet is Isaiah, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," what? El. Oh, wait a minute. The sentence doesn't end there, does it? No, there's a comma there, and the Holy Spirit adds, "which being interpreted is El with us." God with us. So you just learned Hebrew tonight, because Emmanuel means with us. All right? That's how it translates, Emmanuel. And the El on the end of it simply means God with us. All right, you see how it works? And so when you read your Bible, it's Old and New Testament, but especially in the Old Testament, you be aware of, for instance, people's names. All right? Elijah, E-L. Elisha, E-L. And all their names mean something. They all have a name that identifies them as a person, and identifies them as their ministry, as to their ministry. So you can learn a great deal just simply from recognizing those two little letters, E, L, either at the beginning or at the end of a word. And when you see that, you will realize that it is making some kind of a reference to God, all right? And it'll help you in understanding the verses that you're reading. This is the name, this is the name that is used over 2,000 times in the Old Testament to refer to God in strength. All right? 2,000 times, Elohim. It is used 2,000 times in the Old Testament to simply refer to God in strength. The Ohim at the end of it makes the name plural. Now, hold your place here again, and let me take you back over. You know, repetition is so important in learning, and I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I need repeated. Can I get a witness right there? Yes, indeed. All right, go back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. I'm also at the write things down stage of life. You know, if I don't write it down, I don't know where it goes. But it's gone. I don't know where it goes. It's called dementia, I think, is what somebody told me. Somebody told me it was dementia. I don't know who would have told. Can't remember who that would have been. Do I? No, it wasn't you. No, you can't even spell dimension, so I don't I don't worry about that. All right, look please if you... Oh, John. You walk right into him, man. You just walk right into him. All right, look please at verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says here, and there are three that bear record in heaven. All right? Number one. Did I not tell you what chapter? Five. I said five, didn't I? Now, y'all are messing with me now. I said that about not remembering things. I should have written it down, yeah. All right, go sit with John. All right, look at this. Number one, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, right? The Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, there's no period there. There's a comma there. And then it says, or a colon, and then it says, and these three are one. All right, so that's the Godhead right there. That's the Godhead. And very clearly, John tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven. There is the Father, there is the Word, who is the Lord Jesus, the Son, all right, S-O-N, and the Holy Spirit. And don't forget, these three are one, all right? Now, here's an interesting thing. God designed and created some things to help us to understand how three can be one. All right, God's given us a few illustrations of that naturally in the creation. For example, do you remember when the Lord Jesus said that He is the light of the world? He is the light of the world. All right, and so as the light of the world, if you think about it for just a moment, there are three aspects to light, but there's only one light, okay? If you go outside in the daytime, you look up and you see the sun shining, that sun gives light, all right? But then you take your hand and you hold it in the direction of the sun and you will feel warmth on your hand. That's heat, all right? And then, of course, we get life from the sun, all right? We just all witnessed in the last month our state coming alive. Everything was dead. The grass was dead. The trees looked dead. Everything looked dead. We had a terrible, horrible, cold, rainy, nasty winter, and everything just looked dead. And then all of a sudden, one day, your grass was up to your knees and green as it could be. All right. So what happened? Well, the sun started shining its rays down directly upon us, and the end result is the earth sprang into life. And so if there is no sunlight, then there would be no life. All right? So isn't that strange? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I mean, without Him, there would be no spiritual life. We'd all be in spiritual darkness and on our way to a devil's hell. So three, yet one source, and that's the Son. All right? Jesus also said that He is the water of life. Now here's an obvious one, and here's something that is so simple it blows the mind. Water can be seen in three different forms. There is the liquid, all right, the liquid right there. That's the liquid form. But if I were to take this back and put it in the freezer, then it would become what? Ice, exactly. Yes, but then if I take this, pour it in a cup, and then take it and stick it in the microwave and hit 1 hour, I'd go back at the end of an hour and my cup would be burned up, but there wouldn't be any water anywhere. And when you opened it up, the steam would come out. All right, so there are three aspects to water. And it's all three of them are, though, water. All right, you can't say one is not water. No, they're all three water. And so God says you have a problem with understanding the Godhead. You're stumbling at understanding how three can be one. You tripping over that? Don't trip over that. I mean, that's as simple as anything. Just look at water. Just look at water. It rains in the summertime. It snows in the wintertime. And then after a rain in the summertime, you see the steam rising off of the asphalt where the water was. So the whole, God just says, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. And yet people today still stumble all over. All right, here's another obvious one. Look at an egg. An egg. There is the shell, and then there is the yolk. That's the yellow part. All right, and then there is the clear part around the yolk, and that is called the albumen. A-L-B-U-M-E-N. We simply refer to it as the white of an egg. It's not really white. Well, it is once you cook it, but we refer to the albumen as the white of the egg. So there are three parts, okay? Now, if I held up an egg and held it by its shell and just stood here and showed it to you and I said, what is this? All of you would say, duh, that's an egg. Right? All right, so if I crack it and I put it in a pan and I lay the shell right here and then I turn it up a little bit so you can see it, I would say, what is this little yellow thing? And all of you would say, well, that's the yolk. And so I said, okay, let's separate the yolk from the gooey part. And so I would take one of those little egg strainers and pour the whole thing in there. The yolk stays in and the albumen comes out at the bottom. You've got three separate parts, but it's one egg. All right, you got that? So that's our God. I mean, I think everybody on the planet knows what an egg is. I was thinking about it as I was preparing this, that, I've had the privilege of going and preaching all over the known world. Amen. What a blessed privilege it has been to carry the gospel around the globe. But every place I've been, there's one thing in common. They all have eggs. Everybody eats eggs for breakfast. Yeah. Yeah. Now, in China, I didn't ask. I didn't ask. I just ate it, I kept reading that verse where the Lord said, eat that which is set before you. I quit asking. I didn't want to know. If it's green and it grows, they eat it. Whether you chew it up or not. All right, I guarantee you, I've never seen so much in all my life. But you go in, sit down for breakfast, and here comes eggs. Here comes eggs. You go to Israel, eggs. You go to China, eggs. You go to Russia, eggs. You go to Australia, eggs. You go to Ireland, eggs. You go, no matter where you go. Been to India a couple of times. Eggs. Now, they burn the top of your head off when you eat them because they're all curried up, okay? But eggs, everybody serves eggs. So everybody would know what an egg is. And I think when God designed the egg. He knew what he was doing, and he put three parts to it. If I held that shell up, I'd say, "What's this?" All of you would say, "Well, it's an eggshell." But the operative word there was egg. All right? If I made you an egg white omelet, well, I couldn't do it. Karen could do it. If I made you an egg white omelet, I would say, "What is this?" You'd say, "Well, those egg whites." Operative word, egg. All right? And so if you're baking a cake and it says you need three egg yolks, and you separate the, and I held that yolk in my hand and held it, what's that? Everybody in here could look at that and you tell me what it is. It is an egg yolk. Operative word being egg. And God says, "I'm three yet one too." Shouldn't be hard for y'all to figure this out. I mean, a simple egg, a simple bottle of water, shouldn't be hard for any of us to stumble over that. But sadly, there are a lot of people who do. I don't understand it, but anyway, they do. All right, now, everybody got that? The Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit. These three are one. All right, one. Now, here's another little argument for what I have argued with you since I've been here for almost 30 years now. I've said to you, and every time I say this, people just, I mean, you can just see the wheels turning. Yeah, and it just creates so much discussion. It's not argument, it's not, I don't agree with that. I've never heard that. But here's what I've told you. When you get to heaven, you're not going to see three separate gods. These three are one. One. Now, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord Jesus said that. John chapter 4, right? No problems with that, right? God is spirit, says it pretty clearly. But then also we know that the third person of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. All right? God is spirit. The Holy Spirit is spirit. You can't see a spirit. But when the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, those shepherds came and they saw Jesus, a person. A person. And that's who you and I are going to see when we get to heaven. You say, "Well, I want to see God." You will. You're going to see him. I mean, John said that he got up to heaven and he looked, and on the throne was a lamb as though it had been slain from the foundation of the world. He saw Jesus. And that's who we're going to see. You say, "Well, I want to see God." You will see God. When you see Jesus, you're seeing God. You say, "I want to see the Holy Spirit." You will. When you see Jesus, you're going to see the Holy Spirit. These three are... All right. All right, let me see your faces. Fuses blowing everywhere, yeah. Huh? Yep. Yep. You got that? I hope so. All right, go back to Genesis here and let's wrap it up here. Time gets away from me. All right, now look at Genesis 1 again. All right, so we have God, In creation, in verse 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, all right, God, plural, three yet one. All right, but now notice what we see in the third verse. Look at the third verse. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, who's the light of the world?
Jesus.
Yeah. There's Jesus right there in verse 3. Verse 4 says, God saw the light, that it was good. I mean, I would think so, wouldn't you? So, let there be light. We see from this third verse, we see the importance of the word. All right, notice that. And God said. And when he said, let there be light, aren't those words?
Yeah.
Aren't those words?
Amen.
Folks, listen. I don't have a microphone on. Listen, grab this. Don't miss this. All right? I have not read but three verses in the Bible before I am confronted with the fact that God said. God has spoken. Do you see that? Well, how do you know the Bible's the Word of God? Because I believe it is. God said it was. God said. All right? God said. Well, your professor is wrong. Wrong. I have no fear to say that. Your professor doesn't know what he's talking about, or she's talking about, or it's talking about. All right? Let there be light. Can I remind you, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, here's what the whole verse says. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying. So he spake, and then here's what he said. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. And I'm going to preach more about this on Sunday night. Oh, I got a good sermon for Sunday night. Don't miss it. Sunday morning, I'm going to make all of you mad. Whoo, man, it's, man. I might have changed that. Y'all get mad at me again. All right, now, look, please. Look, please, don't miss this now. The Lord Jesus is pictured here in Genesis 1 as the Word of God. He is not just the Word of God. Get this now. He is the Word of the living God. All right? And that goes right along with what John 1 is all about. John 1, 1 to 3. And there, the Apostle John, in his introduction to that fantastic book that he wrote, the Gospel of John, tells us that Jesus is the one who created all things. Listen to what John said. In the beginning was the Word. That's what we're reading about right here. And look again at verse 3. And God said. There's the Word. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. So, I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is the light and He is the Word. Doesn't that make sense? Does to me. All right, now, that leads us to the third person of the Godhead. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And that third person here is the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 2 and let's find out what the Spirit did in the creation. Verse 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void." All right, it was void. It was empty. It was empty. It was without form. In other words, there were no planets. There were no oceans that were set. There were no, you know, there were no mountains. There were no trees. I mean, it was just there. And so what happened? Well, the Bible says that darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the waters. All right? And then it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." All right? Now, the Spirit of God moved. The work of that the Holy Spirit played in creation is described here as Him moving upon the face of the waters. Now let me do a little bit more explanation here. The word translated "moved" in our text is found three times in the Old Testament scriptures. All right, the first place, it is here in the first place, and it's translated "moved." All right, it is also found, the exact same Hebrew word is found in Jeremiah 23 and verse 9. And there, it is translated "shake." All right, like, look here, shake. All right, shake. Now, that's, keep that one in mind. And then it is found in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. And in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, it is translated, you ready? Fluttered. Fluttered. Isn't that strange? Fluttered. So, the Holy Spirit, listen carefully now, the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Now, in modern scientific terminology, scientists would use the word "vibrated."
That's right.
All right? Vibrated. Fluttered. When I had AFib back several years back now, when I had AFib, I went and had all those tests done, you know, and Dr. Ricketts told me, he said, your heart flutters. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I mean, it doesn't really beat. You're just sitting there going like this. You're just going like this." And I said, "Well, that can't be good." He said, "No, it's not good at all." He said, that's why I'm putting you on this and putting you on that. And then we're going to have to do something about that. You can't live like that. He said, "You're going to have a stroke or a heart attack. You can't live like that." And I said, well, do something, you know, now, let's do it right now. But he sent me on vacation, go figure. So anyway, he said, your heart just flutters. And so about that time, I got an iWatch that I could punch, you know, the little heart thing on it, and it would show me how fast my heart was beating. Well, it couldn't even register my heart because it wasn't beating. It was just fluttering. It was just fluttering. My daughter is a nurse, Lauren. She's a nurse, and she would say, let me have your hand, Dad. And I'd give her my hand. She'd say, oh, good grief. And I said, well, what's good grief mean? She said, your heart's just fluttering. I said, yeah, that's what the guy said. It's what the doctor told me. And she said, and here you are in South Carolina on vacation. I said, well, you know, God die somewhere. Let's just die here in South Carolina. It'll be all right. Oh, shut up, Dad. You know. But she'd sit there and poke, you know, all vacation. Put your hand out, Dad. I put my hand out. And she'd say, nope, still an AFib. All it did was flutter. All right. So you know what they did? They tried sticking paddles on my front and my back and shocking me. And all that did was curl my hair. Not, I'm joking, but it worked for 3 days. 3 days I had a normal sinus rhythm, and then it went out again. So then they said, we're going to do a cardiac ablation. And so they went into my veins, and they went up into my heart, and they cut a new current, a new channel for the electricity to flow unimpeded in my heart. And he said, when I woke up, he said, I saw it. It took. He said, I saw it. I saw your heart liven up. I saw your heart go back into beat, into rhythm. I saw your heart change colors right in front of my face. And I said, wow, I wished I'd have been awake to see it. But I was out. All right. Now, what he did was, what he did there was he stopped the vibration and he got it going the way it's supposed to go. Thump, 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 thump. Thump, thump. Where'd that come from? I asked him, and he said, it is an electric current in the earth. That's what moves our hearts, is a current. Now, where did that current come from? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. It was empty. There wasn't nothing here. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. He moved. You know what he did? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. He vibrated, so to speak, and got started what Jesus put into motion, what Jesus created. And it's still functioning today. So, global warming, phooey on global warming. That stuff's a bunch of hooey. Don't fall for that. It's a way for Democrats to tax and control. That's all it is. I don't know if you heard the news yesterday, but the news yesterday, and this was not Fox, and this was not Newsmax, and it was not OAN or any of the other conservative networks. This was not The Blaze. This was not Glenn Beck. This was not Mark Levin. This was not Sean Hannity. This was one of the mainstream liars. And what they said was that new stats are in, and guess what? The North Pole is not melting like all the panicked liberals say it's melting. Well, go figure. What do you know about that? In other words, capital H, capital O, capital A, capital X. Hoax. Let me remind you, folks, that the God who created this world is controlling this world. Amen. He upholds all things by the word of his power, Hebrews chapter 1. So don't you fall for all that stuff. So, boy, we need to get, you know, we need to get windmills on top of the house. No, you don't. We need to get a solar farm in our front yard. No, no. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Oh my, we're late. All right. Well, I'm going to stop right there. I'll come back next week, and I'll come back. No, I ain't chasing a rabbit. This is what I got to give you. I'm going to mark it so I don't lose my place. All right? Make a note. Write it down. All right, does that make sense to you? It was the Holy Spirit who put everything moving. And I got more about that next week. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. Thank you for what we can learn and glean from your word, and I pray you'll bless this greatly to our hearts. And Father, thank you so much for sustaining this universe that you made. You're holding it all together, hold it all in place, and we just rejoice and thank you for watching over us like you do. And so, Father, bless what's been said tonight. In Christ's name, amen.